If our life is on track with God and His Word, we will have some enemies who will do and say some negative things against us. There'll be times when we will have done nothing to deserve it, and there'll be times when we will not be able to do anything to stop it. There's a secret weapon we have. It's far more powerful than any enemy we will ever face. The one weapon we have is the weapon of prayer. This is the one weapon David used when he had no other weapon to use. Psalm 109 is a psalm of David. David wrote it, and he wrote it for the choir director. And this psalm was not only to be taught, but it is to be sung. It's one of those imprecatory psalms in which David asked God to destroy his enemies. So this psalm that calls on God to avenge enemies is a truth God's people need to learn. They need to know it. It's a famous statement that's often used in evangelistic meetings. The statement is, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. David did not draw a distinction between the two. He not only hated the sin, but he also hated the one committing the sin, and he asked God to take care of that person. One might ask, how could a person pray such a prayer? There are three reasons why one could pray such a prayer. Such a prayer leaves vengeance to God. Such a prayer honors God because it appeals to His righteous character and justice. And such a prayer is legitimate when it looks to God to take care of something when a faithful servant of God is being attacked. Anger against sin and a desire to see it punished is not contrary to the proper spirit of spirituality. Now, of all the psalms that ask God to pour out judgment on people, this psalm has been called the most awful. Spurgeon called this psalm one of the hardest places in all of Scripture. Some have suggested that this is a specific prayer from Jesus concerning Judas because Peter specifically applied this to him in Acts 1:16 through 20. Some have said that this is a specific prayer from David concerning one of his enemies. So what we see is this: when God's people are being attacked by enemies who are trying to hurt them for no reason, we always have this legitimate weapon that we ask God to pray, or we ask God in prayer to take care of the situation. And so we've traveled through this book of Psalm. We've seen this kind of prayer before. Psalm 35 and 52 and 55 and 58, 59 and 79. Now what these Psalms tell us is that God did not remove all enemies at once. He did not instantly have all enemies of David drop dead. David had to pray multiple times. And God takes care of all of this. David asked God to answer his prayer for vengeance. Look at this in verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 109. Be not silent, O God, of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with the words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Notice how verse 1 begins. David was still praising God. He obviously is personally hurting, but he's still praising God and asked God to answer his prayer for four reasons. David's enemies were speaking against him by making up lies about him. And one of the best satanic weapons is a deceitful tongue. The greatest wounds against faithful people have been caused by lying tongues. Jesus taught, when you are being slandered on earth, you are being praised in heaven. David's enemies were stirring others against him to hate him. David's enemies were influencing people with their hateful, distorted words. He was being totally misrepresented. And David's enemies were fighting against him without any cause. David had done nothing to bring this on. He did not deserve what was happening to him. And David's enemies to whom he had ministered had accused him and hated him. David truly loved these people. He prayed for these people. In return, the people accused him, hated him, and did evil against him. And the most hurtful enemy will ever be the one that you've loved and cared for who turned against you. David specifically asked God to do these negative things to his enemies. Look at verses 6 through 15. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children. May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Someone observed it is far better to agree with God's curses than to agree with devil's blessings. What David prays for this is very scary if you're the one against whom the prayers are made. He says, let a man, wicked man, dominate his enemy. David specifically asked God to permit a proud, wicked person to rule over his enemy. And then he says, let an accuser be continually at his right hand. David asked God for a real accuser, not a false accuser, to accuse his enemy at all time. Let him be judged guilty. David does not want this person acquitted at judgment. He was God to judge him guilty and not to pardon him. And so he's saying, let his prayer be judged as sinful. This tells us this person went to religious services and prayed. And David asked God to view his prayer as sinful, not spiritual. And let his days be few in number. David asked God to shorten his enemy's impact in life and let another person replace him. And in the Greek Septuagint, the pronoun another means another of a different kind. David is asking God to remove a leader and put into office another leader who is not like this evil enemy. And let his children become fatherless. David is asking God to end the life of his enemy. He did not want this lineage to develop at all. He asked God to let his family come to total ruin. And let his wife become a widow, because David wants this enemy gone. And let his children not prosper. David did not want these children excelling in anything. He wanted them to be beggars. He wanted them to have to move out of the area to beg. Let him suffer total financial ruin. He wanted creditors to seize everything, and he wanted strangers dominating everything they owned. Let no one show loving kindness or mercy to him. That's a scary request. That's David asking God to show no mercy to this enemy or to any member of his family. And then he says, let his posterity be completely cut off. David prays that the memory of his enemy and the memory of his family be completely erased. Let his parents suffer because of what he's done. David even wants judgment against the ancestors of his enemy. He's asking God to judge this person's entire lineage. Sometimes the evil stems from parents and grandparents, and let his memory be removed from the earth. David does not even want this person remembered. It's a serious prayer. These are scary prayer requests. And then David gives God more reason why he wants God to do these things to the enemies. Verses 16 through 20, he says, for he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. He loved to curse, let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing, may it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat, may it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my life. And so David is giving personal reasons why he wants God to answer the prayer. And he gives social and spiritual reasons why he wants God to answer these prayers. He says his enemies did not show mercy. His enemies persecuted those needy and afflicted. This person was so ruthless, he attacked those already low. His enemies killed those hurting in their hearts. His enemies loved cursing. This person continually cursed God and his word. And his enemies did not delight in the blessings of God. David says, let his enemy's life, which cursed God, be a garment that covers him forever, and let this be his reward. And David asked God to do specific things for him. Look at this in verses 21 through 29. He says, but you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My eyes are weak, my knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to their your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. Let they arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. So just as David asked God to do certain things to his enemies, he also asked certain things for God to do concerning him. David asked God to deal kindly with him. He wants this to be taken care of because of God's name, because he's afflicted, because he's a hurting heart, because time is passing and his life is not accomplishing much. He's weak. He's become a reproach. And David asked God to help him. David asked God to save him. David asked God to let his enemies know God's hand is on David. David asked God to let his enemies continually curse while he is continually blessed. It's fascinating to think, though, David did not want these enemies repenting and being saved. And David assumes God has sovereign power to curse and condemn and to save and to bless. And then David asked God to let his accusers be shamed. And so you see that he's concluding the psalm by saying that he would continually thank God and praise God because God stands ready to help him. Look at this as verses 30 and 31. With my mouth I will give thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng, for he stands at the right hand of our needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death.